So privileged to be joined by my good friend down in Australia, Anne O'Dong of the Women's Game, to talk about the upcoming W League Grand Final. Anne, good day, mate. How you doing?
Hi, Kieran. Really, really nice to join you again. It's been a little while. I think the last time was the Women's World Cup.
I think it was. Now, I know you're under the weather a little bit, so we're not going to keep you for too long, but it's been a fascinating season down in the W League. Melbourne City stamping their authority very early on as a newly added club to the league, winning every single game during the domestic season, but were pushed all the way during their semi-final against Brisbane Roar in the playoff semi-finals, which meant they set up a final against Sydney FC. Now, let's look at the final first. An intriguing game. Many will have Melbourne City as favourites, but Sydney will not be rolling over, will they?
No, and Melbourne City have had an interesting season. There's almost been two defined halves to their season. They kicked it off with a banger against Sydney FC with a 6-0 win away from home. And from then on, it was pretty consistent 4-0 wins, and that was pretty much the average through the first 7 or 8 games. But in the back half, I don't know if it's because Joe Montemurro, the coach, has been tinkering a little bit with the side, with formation, with personnel in certain positions, but it's definitely been much, much tighter contests in the back half of the season. A lot of 1-0 wins or a 2-1 win, and that we saw that in the semi-final against the Brisbane Roar, where Brisbane really did play pretty much the most perfect game that you could against Melbourne City. Brisbane were helped by the fact that Jess Fishlock came off with a tight hamstring. Early word is that she should be okay for the final, but it might be a case of that she comes off the bench, and that could be a bit of a problem with City, because really, without Fishlock driving that midfield, their shape, they lose a little bit of shape, and also their key players don't get as forward as much. And we saw that with Brisbane Roar, and Kim Little, just because she had to tuck in a little bit more into that midfield, really couldn't roam as we're used to seeing her for Scotland, for Seattle Reign, and as she has done for Melbourne City most of the season. So Sydney FC, they had a 2-1 loss to Melbourne City just 2 weeks ago, but they go in with plenty of confidence.
And they go in, we'll talk about Melbourne's win over Brisbane shortly, because a fantastic performance by Brisbane. Hayley Kottmeyer and Claire Polkinghorne coming up with a lot of credit from that fixture. But we'll talk about Sydney's win over Canberra. A bit of a surprise result, but it was overshadowed slightly by quite a controversial winner, wasn't it? Where it looked like to a lot of people there was a foul on the keeper, wasn't given, and proved to be the winning goal by Jasmine Spencer. What was the reaction down in Australia to that one?
Oh, it was disbelief, actually. In fact, sitting at the ground, there was this moment where almost everyone was waiting for a whistle to be blown. A whistle did get blown, but that was for a goal for Sydney FC. And let's just say the Canberra United crowd were very displeased with that result. Look, it looked like Lydia Williams had backed, Kai Simon had backed into Lydia Williams. We've actually got a photo from one of our photographers, Joseph Mayers, where it looks like they've hooked arms. And that's why Williams couldn't get up in the air to make a punch or make a play at the ball. And that's where a lot of people have asked the question, why didn't Williams get up? Well, it looks like, you know, there was hooking of arms, and that's why she couldn't get up properly to be able to make the punch. But in saying that, Sydney FC over the last 2 to 3 weeks have been playing some really good disciplined football. They're not the free-flowing attacking Sydney FC that we've seen in the past, but this definitely is a side that's very contained, defensively led by Alana Kennedy. They've been very solid in the midfield. We've seen the likes of Nicola Bolger and Kai Simon step up. Teresa Plyce has been great as always. And up front, with the speed of Jasmine Spencer and Princess Abel, they've really looked good on the counter-attack, and that's what in the end hurt Sydney, Canberra United. Canberra, who's controlled most of the back half of the season. I mean, they went 7 games on the trot with a win, 8 games undefeated. and they just couldn't find the drive. And I think they really did miss Veronica Perez, who was away at Mexican national team duties at the Four Nations tournament. And again, just one player, when you're used to consistency, cuts out the shape. The runs aren't quite made. The balls aren't quite played through in behind the defence to the likes of Ashley Sykes and Michelle Heyman. And they were a little bit off, and that was just enough for Sydney.
And controversy aside, we've got to give Sydney some credit, haven't we? Because if you looked at maybe the first five, six games of the season, the W League had a very unfamiliar look to it, with clubs like Melbourne Victory, Sydney FC and Brisbane Roar near the wrong end of the table. Mm. But Sydney certainly came back into it. And as I say, controversy aside, they'll be going into that final confident, despite the fact that they come up against an incredibly informed team in Melbourne City.
Exactly. And speaking to one of the assistant coaches for Sydney FC, they were pretty confident going into this semi-final. I mean, I thought Canberra United would probably run away with it, maybe 2-1 or 3-1. But I hadn't seen this controlled a performance from Sydney in a really long time. It wasn't just that the fact that Canberra found it hard to find any space in behind them, but also what they did on the ball was the difference. And they managed to hold it a lot better than they had pretty much all season. I think that's because they got a lot of confidence from the game against Melbourne City the previous week, where they became the first team in 6 weeks to be able to score against City. And from there, they built a lot of confidence, and really they were disappointed that they ended up losing late in the 85th minute. They went into that game against Canberra knowing that they could actually defeat Canberra if needed be. And that's been the difference in the last couple of weeks, not just for Sydney FC, but we're going to talk about Brisbane in a moment. It's that belief within the team, but also really, really good structures that have been set up. Canberra, they're going to be disappointed. It's the second time in 3 seasons that they've had a home semi-final and been knocked out. So they're going to feel really disappointed that the season ends in this way, when really most people had a Canberra-Melbourne City grand final penciled in.
Well, you mentioned Melbourne City there. Let's move over to the second semi-final that we mentioned briefly earlier. It was a very, very tight contest that ended up going to penalty kicks, and heartbreaking for Brisbane Roar, isn't it? They put in such a big effort. We mentioned Hayley Kottmeyer, who was a colossus in goal. I couldn't see the game, but I was listening to it on a radio stream, and it just sounded like she had the game of her life. Claire Polkinghorne at centre-back was obviously a big influence as well, but just weren't able to cross over that finish line, were they?
No, and you have to consider that Brisbane Roar's performance was without arguably their two best players in the last couple of weeks. Kirsty Yallop, the New Zealand international, was across with the World Cup qualifiers, and Katrina Gorry had been suspended because she'd accumulated her 4 yellow cards for the season. So many people had written off. I had written off Brisbane. I would have been saying 3-0 would be a good scoreline for them. But the work that they did, and it's not just in terms of the work that they did defensively, but also when they had the ball. In the last 30 minutes, they were actually on top of Melbourne City. Emily Gilnick was fantastic going forward. You had to make a butt on the ball as well. Aisha Norrie is a defensive midfielder, just 19 years of age. She was fantastic in being able to shut down Little and Ivy Lewick, who are these experienced internationals. And Lewick is an Asian Cup winner. So it wasn't just the fact that they had a really strong defensive performance, park the bus and just try to wait it out, but they actually, in attack, they found ways out. And I think that Brisbane put in some of the best defensive performances of the season. And we've spoken about Melbourne City most of this year, how a lot of teams almost didn't want to play them according to their strengths. And Brisbane did. They decided that they were going to tuck in, they were going to have good shape, they were going to play narrow, wouldn't allow City to have the width that they'd been able to destroy teams with. And as you said, Kottmeyer was incredible. But I think even better than Kottmeyer and Polkinghorne, who are both experienced players, was the performance of 18-year-old Angela Beard. At left back, she was fantastic. And you can see why Alan Stajic has called her up to the Matildas. And she might just be able to see if she can work her way into the Olympic qualifier squad, which is due in a couple of weeks' time. And just the scene of her hitting the crossbar in the penalty shootout. Oh, it's just heartbreaking, and just football is so, so cruel in that way, Kieran.
It's interesting, isn't it? You mentioned Angie Beard, an 18-year-old, very young head. Claire Lavalger missed a penalty in the World Cup for France. Mm-hmm. Granted, the semi-final of a W League playoff isn't quite the magnitude of a World Cup quarter-final, but regardless, it's still a big game and still a big ask for an 18-year-old to take that all-important, you know, fifth spot kick. I mean, in your view, would you have had her maybe earlier on, you know, respect the fact that she's put her hand up and said she'll take one, but maybe not that all-important fifth one, which proved decisive?
You would say so, but we've spoken about the psychology of penalty kicks, and we spoke about it in light of that France exit, and as you said, Lavalier. But in terms of that, it's really about what the player is prepared to do. You know, we saw in the difference is Lisa Devanna took Melbourne City's fifth kick, but that's the confidence of a Devanna, and maybe that's the confidence of an Angie Beard. I mean, these young kids, Kieran, they're absolutely fearless. You know, the likes of an Angie Beard has already played under 17s, under 19s, has been in a Matildas camp, and she's 18. So there's this confidence that is in this new generation that they feel like, yeah, they can do everything. But and particularly when you look at what happened in terms of the reaction after the kick, she was devastated, but her Brisbane Roar teammates rallied around her, and also significantly the Melbourne City team rallied around her post-match, and those were some of the best scenes to see. And Lisa Devanna pulling her across to the side and saying, look, you know, it's devastating now, but you're a good player, and it's happened to all of us, and we've all been there, and you'll be better for it. And I think in terms of where you go, if the player is ready to take that kick, you let them take that kick. You'd think maybe Claire Polkinghorne, who took the first couple, maybe she takes that one. But then again, Polkinghorne got them off to the perfect start, and sometimes you need that. So the psychology of penalty kicks are interesting, and you always see that, you know, that was an anomaly result when you look at the percentages of teams that win penalty shootouts. It's usually the team that goes first that wins them.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just, you know, I think it's something that goes through my mind when I look at young players put in that pressure position. But as you say, there are many a young player who are fearless in that high pressure environment and that high pressure moment. So, you know, massively.
Right. Just to jump in, you look at Kai Simon, was an 18-year-old when she scored the penalty to win Australia their first ever Asian Cup trophy. So it just really is about the confidence of the player. And some players at 18 are as mature as a 30-year-old veteran.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we have to credit Melbourne City. They came into this season with a lot of attention, high-profile signings, new club into the league, the relationship that they have with Manchester City women as well. A lot of people would have expected them to get to where they are, but it's one thing to have the expectation, it's another thing to deliver. They've been impressive, haven't they?
They have been impressive all season, and it's not just those names that you mentioned, you know, your Steph Catleys, your Kim Litters, Jess Fishlock. You've also got Laura Alleyway in there, Jennifer Beatty, Lisa Devanna. It's been those players, and they've got over 550 international caps between them. But it's also been the young players. I mean, one of the players that everybody stood up and took notice of was Beatty Goad. She's only an 18-year-old as well, and she was playing out on the wing, and she was fantastic during that game. But again, Goad is a three-year W League veteran and played in a grand final and won a championship. And that's what City have been able to do, is just have that incredible depth. I mean, looking forward to the final, it's now who's in that formation. You've still got Mariana Debane. You've got Lisa Devanna has to come into that starting lineup now, considering the game she played. And she was mammoth for City during that last hour and a half. So she probably comes into it. And then you look at the likes of Alex Chidiac, who was on the bench as well. So there's so much depth within that team. And that's what we've been able to witness over the last 12 or 13 weeks, and they've really thrown down the gauntlet in this W League season. It's going to be interesting next season to see who goes with them.
Well, it's going to be an incredible final. Two very good teams, two very different teams in terms of style and personnel. But I guess my final question, I'm not really going to ask you for a prediction, Anne, because I wouldn't want you to put you on the spot like that, but what do you think we can expect from the final?
I think on this final, it's probably the wake-up call that Melbourne City needed in that semi-final. I truly do think there were some weaknesses that were exposed on that team, and particularly on the right-hand side of the pitch. And the right-hand side of the pitch is actually Sydney FC's stronger sides. So you're going to find that a really interesting battle. I think there's going to be some crucial duels. Tegan Allen up against Lisa Devanna, and somebody on Twitter said, you know, the intensity between those two could power a whole city. So that's going to be a key battle. Then you've got the likes of Alana Kennedy up against Larissa Crummer, who struggled in the semi-final, and Kennedy really had the wood over Michelle Heyman in their semi-final, so that's going to be another key battle. But then it comes down to also Fishlock. Is she going to be fit? Is she going to be able to anchor that team? Because she really did show that she is that Melbourne City team. She is that driver. She is that person that allows their creative players to have the freedom that they do have. So the battle between a Fishlock and a Teresa Pliers would be huge as well. So there's battles all over the pitch, but I think in this respect, the key is going to be possession. How much possession does Sydney FC get, and what do they do with it? They've got the players to be able to hurt Melbourne City, but it's going to be just dependent on City's performance, really. And then finally, you've got the two goalkeepers, Michelle Bados, who is the NWSL Goalkeeper of the Year, and also you've got Brianna Davey. They're going to probably have a lot of shots to save, and they could also tell the difference if it goes to a penalty shootout.
Well, it's going to be fascinating. We will certainly be keeping tabs on it over here in England, but you will be there with the women's game and all of your teams. So do make sure you come back on the next show, and we'll have a talk about the final, and we'll have a look back at what's been a really, really interesting season. But thanks, as always, for joining us, and enjoy the final.
I will too, Kieran, and absolutely looking forward to wrapping up the W League. And the interesting thing is, one side will make history at this grand final. Either Sydney FC will become the first team to win three W League championships, or Melbourne City will win their first.